And then when you don't give me the right answer and I don't agree with you, then you feel all like kind of inhibited and think that I'm testing you or something. And then you say things like, well, I don't know what you want from me. Don't want nothing from you, ain't got nothing. But he was telling me what it was about me that made me alcoholic. And that was, alcohol did that for me. It changed me from a duck to an eagle. That's what alcohol did for me. It changed my perception of reality. When I was like this little duck, I drink and I go swooping around looking for prey. It changes my perception of reality. That's what alcohol does for me. AA changes my perception to reality. Holy shit. You think I knew that when I got here? I never knew that when I got here. I went home and told my best pal, the one that morning had X'd me out of his life and told me to piss off. I went home, I went, hey, guess what? I'm an alcoholic, I'm powerless over alcohol, my life's unmanageable. He said, no shit. I thought it was going to be a surprise. Not you. Everybody knew, except me. Got any more water down there? What, you've got no water? I never knew. I never had a clue. Any other weird people here? Yeah. Anybody ever get told, what is wrong with you? What the hell's wrong with you? For Christ's sake, what's wrong with you? You're goddamn weird, you are. Do you know that? You're weird, you are. What is wrong with you? And all my life, people seem to say, what is wrong with you? And they would ask me what's wrong with me as if I knew. They would ask me what's wrong with me as if I could give them an answer. What is wrong with you? Oh, actually, I've got a twofold disease. It's an obsession of the mind and an allergy of the body. I can't control my drinking. I don't know what's wrong with me. Nothing's wrong with me. What's wrong with you? It was always what's wrong with you, not me. Why do you drink like you do? Why don't you drink like I do? See, because I don't know. I don't know nothing about nothing. I don't have a clue what's wrong with me. I don't know nothing. I don't know I'm sinking in the depths of despair, alcoholism. I don't have a clue. I was a happening dude. I was voted most likely to succeed. I got letters after my name. I got a PhD. Pretty heavy drinker. That German baroness who fell in love with me at 22 years of age and wanted me to become part of aristocracy, for Christ's sake. I was a perfectionist. A perfectionist. Holy shit. Thank you, mate. Where did I change from being a perfectionist? When I was incarcerated, I've been sober many, many times in my life. Many, many times I've been physically clean and sober. Every time I got released from a joint of any kind, no matter what kind of joint it was, whether it was a nut ward or whether it was a maximum security prison or whatever it was, every time I got released, I was as physically clean and sober as I stand before you right now. I've been physically clean and sober many, many times. But you know what? One time I got released in 1966, I got released from a maximum security prison. I'd been incarcerated a long time. I got released as physically clean and sober as I stand before you right now. 6 weeks later, I'm chained down in a nut ward for the criminally insane, puking straight up in the air on a murder charge. And I've killed a 21-year-old man, and I don't know what's happened. I have no idea. That's where alcohol takes me. I was so insane, I was biting into my arm to try to determine, is this real or am I imagining it? Is it a dream? Am I dead? So befogged that I can't even... Is that your parole officer, like, faxing through a...
Do you allow beepers and shit like that up here in Portland? I don't know. Very important, guys. Must be a brain surgeon or something, yeah. You know, if you saw a film called Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter at one stage was put in that cage. Well, I was in a cage like that. Not a nice cage like he was in. I was in this cage, chained and manacled. And there was a... No wonder you're a newcomer. That's what newcomer shit does. Think it's funny? Ain't funny. You know, when I was chained in that cage, and there was a guard whose job it was 24 hours a day to watch me, and I had shit all over me, puking, barking at the moon. Do you think if that parole board or whatever came walking by and said to that guard, well, what's the story here with this man? Do you think that guard would have turned round and said, oh, him, with all that shit on him, barking at the moon? Oh, he's a perfectionist, him. Oh, yeah, he's a perfectionist. He's known as a perfectionist. At what stage do you change like that? Crossing over the line, sliding down into destitution, alcoholism, untreated alcoholism. I don't know. But what I do know is where the solution came. It came on January the 15th, 1983, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, and you guys told me the truth. And you stopped letting me get away with what I was getting away with and told me the truth about me that I didn't know and didn't understand. And I never heard it for a long time. I didn't drink from day one. I've never drank, not a drop of alcohol has passed my lips from January the 15th, 1983, from the very first day I got here. But I told you I don't hear shit right. So we're in alcohol, alcoholics, Alcoholics Anonymous. So I never drank from that day on. You said we don't drink here. We have to give up the booze. I said, okay. So I never drank. But I always drank, but I never only drank. I also did loads of other shit too. Good shit. So I never drank, but I carried on doing the rest of the shit. Don't hear shit right. Well, guess what? I took a 30-day chip, loaded to the gills. I never heard that it was all things that affect you from the neck up. I heard alcohol, Alcoholics Anonymous. You guys didn't kick me out. You didn't tell me go somewhere else. You must have known I was loaded, because I know when you are, so you must have known when I was. But you said keep coming back, because you didn't kick me out. I did. And 6 weeks I was sober, and that guy, that rock and roller who had 12-stepped me, he had been away out on the road on tour, and he came in. And he came in and he came to that meeting. 6 weeks later... He said, Mick, he said, what happened to you? He said, I used to phone up from the road every day. Folk told me you were doing good, going to meetings and doing good. I said, I'm doing great. I've got a 30-day chip. He said, you're off the wall. I said, what do you mean I'm off the wall? He said, you're whacked, you are. I said, what do you mean I'm whacked? He said, what are you on? I said, nothing. He said, you can't be like that on nothing. What did you do since you got up this morning? I said, same as I do every morning. What? He said. I said, I woke up, I lit up a doobie. He said, what? I said, oh, we had some good indica bud come in over the weekend. I always smoke a joint before I get up. He said, you can't do that. I said, what do you mean I can't do that? He said, it's a mind-altering chemical. I said, no, it ain't. It's pot. He said, what a dick. Keep coming back, for Christ's sake, he said. Anybody here do a little pot? Anybody do a lot? No shit. I don't know. I ain't got a problem with pot. This was alcohol. Pot only does two things to me. Makes me horny and makes me hungry. Nothing wrong with that. Except some mornings you wake up with a sore arm and a bed full of pizza crust. But apart from that... Oh, you do that sick shit up here in Portland, huh? Well, for the new folk, I've got news for you. I'm 16 and a half years sober and I've changed. Don't eat pizza in bed anymore. But I don't know that I've got to quit all mind-altering chemicals. I hear alcohol. If you hear nothing else here today, and I haven't come here to offend anybody, I promise all the alcoholics that never did drugs, I ain't trying to offend anybody. But I'm like dying on my feet, and I see it every day. Alcoholics doing other shit dying. We got to say it's all mind-altering chemicals. I did a load of speed, crystal crank. Anybody here do a little speed, crystal crank? Anybody do a lot? No shit. Did it make your dick disappear too? Yeah. You ain't gonna read that in no recovery, like, treatment centre manual. Oh yeah, fire up a bunch of crystal, your dick'll disappear. It ain't, you know. It's funny how the ladies seem to relate to that. Dudes are going, not me, rock on, Tommy, you know. Ladies are going, yeah, sure, well. But I do that stuff. I don't care if I puke on you, I'm a heroin addict. I don't care. I don't care if, like, you know, I do MDA, I do hallucinogenics, I love PCP. I don't know whether you do that shit or not. Takes more than one day to get over that shit, I can tell you that. I still have flashbacks now occasionally. I threw a thought back to the archives back here in the back of my head one day. I threw a thought back there, thought came hurtling back. Said, you're nuts trying to use that back there. There's a big sign up back there says you blew through here in a Pink Floyd concert in the 60s. Every once in a great while a single cell lights up and comes up and looks around and pops back down, you know. You guys taught me well. You guys said, let go and let God. I said, what? You said, turn it over to God. I said, what? You said, pray to God. I said, what? Pray to God? Are you nuts? If I pray to him, he'll know where I am. I've been ducking God for years. I can't have had this vision. Oh, Heavenly Father, help me. There you are, you little shit. I've been looking for you, Zap. Bam. I ain't going to pray to no God. He was going to strike me blind if I played with the old ding-a-ling, for Christ's sake. They told me that. Did you hear that? Well, you know I did anyway. When I found out how good it felt, I thought, well, I'll risk one eye. I wanted a softer, easier way even then, for Christ's sake. I don't know about walking in the sunlight of the Spirit. I don't know nothing about that. I have no idea. Today I do. Today I do. I didn't have it when I got here, but I got it today. Every single day, my very first conscious awakening, you guys taught me well. Conscious contact. The CC. AA, BB, CC. AA is Alcoholics Anonymous, BB is Big Book, CC is Conscious Contact. Every single morning, the first conscious contact I make, the first awakening thought that I have in my head, I check in with the old man. I check in with the old man. I say, hey old man, what you got for me today? He says, come on kid, we've got some work to do, and he sends me to you. When I was desperate and needed help, I asked for help and he sent me to you. Today I got some help to give. I ask him what he wants me to do. He sends me to you. Same deal. I ain't leaving here. Why would I leave here? In and of myself, I would revert back to being powerless over this disease. But I ain't going to revert back to being in and of myself. I'm staying right here with you where I was sent when I needed help. In and of myself, I'm powerless. But I ain't in and of myself. When I was in and of myself, because I was powerless and I didn't know it. I didn't know what powerless meant. I didn't know that powerless meant that I had no God in my life when it came to alcohol. Alcohol. Remember, our first step is we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Not like I hear the lip flappers saying people, places and things. Nothing to do with nothing being powerless over people, places and things. Everybody is and isn't powerless over people, places and things. Nothing to do with nothing. Nothing to do with addiction. Nothing to do with alcoholism. Everybody is and isn't powerless over people, places and things. Nothing to do with a disease. You think the bloody Pope don't wake up some days and say, why do I have to wear this bloody hat? No one else has to wear a hat like this. You think Granny Clampett ain't powerless over Jethro? You think that Russian dude, the one with the big purple blob on his head, you think he don't come out of the shower on certain mornings and say, how come I got a bloody purple blob on my head? Nothing to do with nothing. We're powerless over alcohol. And if I'm powerless over alcohol, I want to know what that means. Powerless. If God is the source and God is the power over everything, and he either is or he isn't, if God is the source and God is the power over everything, and I'm powerless over alcohol, it means I've got no God in my life when it comes to alcohol. I hear you guys say, well, turn it over to God. How can I do that if I've got no God in my life where alcohol's concerned? If I've got a God to turn it over to as far as alcohol's concerned, well, then I'm not powerless. And if I am powerless, I ain't got no God to turn it over to. I can't have it both ways. I can't claim I'm powerless and I got a God to turn it over to. Hello, lip flappers say that shit. I was powerless over alcohol because I had no God in my life when it come to alcohol. That's why it was essential that I hit bottom first, because in the act of hitting bottom, you ask God into your life as far as alcohol's concerned. I was powerless over alcohol because it made me do shit that I didn't want to do. And when I say I'm powerless over alcohol, I'm actually declaring, aren't I, that there's a power greater than me, alcohol. And I have to succumb to its demands because I got no power to fight it or resist it. Alcohol, I'm powerless over alcohol because it makes me do shit that I don't want to do, including drinking it. When I absolutely don't want to do it, when every fibre of my body is against doing it, when every desire in the world is to not do it, I do it anyway. Anybody else do that? No shit. So I got to not want to do it, and then do these steps and this work so that I don't do what I already don't want to do. And if I ain't doing these steps or ain't done these steps, I will do what I don't want to do, because the disease I got that I'm powerless over will make me do what I don't want to do. I don't want to drink, but I got a disease that does. And that disease that does is more powerful than my desire not to. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking, but I got a disease that's more powerful than that desire. So if you're standing outside a liquor store or a crack house, you better have more going for you than the fact that you don't want to do it. Especially if there's an ATM around. I was powerless, but when I asked God into my life as far as alcohol was concerned and he sent me to you, God come in my life and sent me to you. You guys introduced me to a beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, a big book you called it, B-I-G-B-O-O-K, Believing in God Beats Our Old Knowledge. You had a program of action, P-R-O-G-R-A-M, people relying on God, relaying a message. A program of action, A-C-T-I-O-N, any change to improve our nature. Change, C-H-A-N-G-E, choosing honesty allows new growth every day. You said it's 12 spiritual steps, S-T-E-P-S, solution to every problem, sober. When I asked if I had to do steps, you said yes. Why? Because if you don't do steps and want to quit drinking, you'll go nuts and crazy. Nuts, what do you mean nuts? N-U-T-S, not using the steps. Yeah. The big book said, remember, we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. H-E-L-P, his ever-loving presence. Get a sponsor. Sponsor? What do you mean, sponsor? S-P-O-N-S-O-R. Sober person offering newcomers suggestions on recovery. That's what a sponsor is. Holy shit. Wow. Wow. In and of myself, I was powerless, but here I asked for help. And I was sent here to you. God provided us with this power. But this power and God are different. People think it's the same, but it ain't. God provided us with this power, but this power is not the totalness of God. This power enables me to unwarp my mind. Like the 12 and 12 tells me, we have warped our minds into such an obsession for destructive drinking that only an act of providence can remove it from us. An act of providence where God didn't create it, could have prevented it, but doesn't. He allows it in order to bring good from it, like a drunk hitting bottom. He don't want his kids, us, laying in the gutter, sucking on a bottle or jamming a needle in our arm. He loves us. He wants us to be happy, joyous and free, and so he provided this wonderful way of life. I see alcoholics walking around here. They ain't done the steps. They ain't living this program. And I think, what the hell are they praying for? God has provided us with this wonderful program to enable us to live happy, joyous and free, and they ain't doing it. But they pray. What are they praying for? Some more shit to ignore? We got this wonderful way of life. God provided us with this power sufficient to enable me to recover from alcohol, to unwarp my mind so that I can think straight enough to make a decision in three. My mind's warped, but I've got to unwarp my mind, restore myself to sanity so that I don't drink. As I unwarp my mind, I can think straight to make a decision in three. Step three, where he now mentions God. He understood it in one and two, he named it in three. That's why the third step says, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I've understood God. Understood, not understand. It's a past tense word because it comes from one and two. Holy shit. My will and my life. I made a mistake. I thought, I read the step, and the step was different than what the book said. Read it after A, B and C. It says now you're at step three. I won't tell you what it is, but you read it. You read step three and then read what it says after A, B and C and see if you can see the difference. See, in step three it says turn my will and my life over to the care of God. After A, B and C it says turn my life over to God. So I turned my life over to God and the bugger turned it right back, said I don't want it, I gave it to you. Turn my will and my life over to the care of God, which was a totally different thing. Holy shit. My white Jaguar sports car taught me about that. I got a white Jaguar sports car. 12-cylinder white Jaguar sports car. Why wouldn't I have? I'm a limey, for Christ's sake. 12 steps, 12 traditions, 12 cylinders. Nothing wrong with that. My license plate is AA12X12. AA 12 and 12. But you know what? It's a limey piece of shit is what it is. It breaks down all the time. And I have to take it back to the mechanic I got it from for fixing and repair. And when I take the car back to my mechanic for fixing and repair, I don't give the bastard my car. It's my car. I own it. I got to pay DMV for it. I'm responsible for it. But I put it in his care for fixing and repair. Like my will and my life, I go back to the old man I got it from and put it in his care for fixing and repair. I don't give him my life, I don't give my mechanic the car. And when I take my car into that mechanic for fixing and repair, what he wants me to do then is to turn round and piss off. He don't want me hanging around his shop making suggestions. And he certainly don't want me hanging out trying to help him. The next time he wants to see me is when I do my part, which is pay the dues, write the check and give him the dough for work done. And that's what my part is here, isn't it? God don't want me helping him. He wants me to let go. L-E-T-G-O. Leave everything to God, okay? That's what you guys taught me. And my will and my life was my thinking and my actions. My will was my thinking, my life was my actions. Yeah, we live in the now, but I couldn't live in the now because I was dragging around guilt, shame and remorse from yesterday. And it was screwing up the now, N-O-W, no other way. I couldn't live in the now because I had all this fear, worry and anxiety about tomorrow. Here I was trying to live in the now, dragging around guilt from yesterday and fear, worry and anxiety about tomorrow, so I couldn't live in the now. So my will and my life was my thinking and my actions. But not just in the now, it was everything I had done, am doing and will do. Three parts, past, present, future. My thinking was everything I wish I'd done, would like to be doing and hope I'll do, so that I can live in the now. I couldn't do that while I was living in the past and the present. Holy shit. Think I knew that when I got here? I never knew nothing like that. I never had a clue. You think I knew how to apply these principles to all my affairs? I never knew that. My sponsor helps me with that. I don't know nothing about nothing. I don't do good things like in relationships. I don't know what you lot are like up here in Portland. But our 12 and 12, our personal relationships. I got to ask you guys for help with that. I wrote a word, relationships. R-E-L-A-T-I-O-N-S-H-I-P. Really exciting love affair. Turns into outrageous nightmare. Sobriety hangs in peril. Yeah, no shit. Think I know how to do all that? I don't know how to do all that. Do you think I walk around today telling people I'm powerless? I don't do that. Why? When I hear folk in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings saying I'm powerless, I think to myself, why would they say that? To me, that's the disease getting you to deny the power that's in your life. Why would you deny the fact that God's come into your life and provided us with a fellowship we crave, a big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, a program of action, 12 spiritual steps, a sponsor, sponsories? I've got so much bloody power over alcohol today, I don't know what to do with it, for Christ's sake. I said to my sponsor, what shall I do with all this power I've got over alcohol? He said, give it away, he said. Go up there to Portland. They won't want it anyway. That's what we do, though, don't we? That's what we do, our primary purpose. Stay sober, carry the message. You know, I read in our grapevine, a little plug for the grapevine. Little thing in the grapevine last month, it said, when a candle, a single candle, lights another candle, it loses absolutely nothing of itself. And when it lights the second candle, the light from the second candle adds to the glow. And isn't that what we do here? When we help another, when one drunk helps another drunk, he loses absolutely nothing of himself, and he adds to the overall unity of the whole thing, doesn't he? Isn't that what we do around here? Wow. You think I knew about that? You think I knew about, like, page 132, my favourite page this week. Page 132. Look, it says here, so we think cheerfulness and laughter make for usefulness. Outsiders are sometimes shocked when we burst into merriment over a seemingly tragic experience out of the past. But why shouldn't we laugh? We have recovered and have been given the power to help others. Holy shit. What a gift. To recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body and be granted the power to help the next guy. The book said new power has flowed into us. It says we have been granted the power to help the next guy. The 11th step says sought through prayer and meditation, the conscious content and the power to carry that out. Praying only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry out. Power, power, power to stay sober. Those folk out there don't understand this. My own mum don't understand it. I go home to my mum's house, I walk in my mum's house and say, Mum, I'm 16 years sober. She says, so is the cat. And she ain't sick like you lot. She don't laugh at seemingly hopeless situations out of the past. She never laughed when I came home and puked on the cat. Because I'm a puker too. Any other pukers here? No shit. And I ain't no dribble-ass puker. I'm a goddamn directional puker, me, man. Large chunks, whoosh, like that. I could hit your foot from here, like that. My mum never laughed when I came home and puked on the cat. You ever puked on a cat? That's weird shit. Because if you're a puker like me, you know it's coming, you know what I mean? You can feel it, can't you? You can, like... Then you swallow it down. Well, did yours taste better than mine? But you can feel it, you know it's going to be a gusher. Up it... Right on the cat. And you look at it weird like that. Holy shit. I don't remember eating that. And then the cat gets up and runs off. You know? Bits of carrot hanging on it and shit, you know what I mean? Where does that carrot come from? That's weird shit. I can promise you in my entire life I never once sat down and ate a diced carrot. Yet every time I puked there, the bastard was. Carrot and corn. Carrot and corn, you know what I mean? And the cat runs off, got carrot and corn all over it. My mum don't laugh at that shit, but we do, don't we? Because we got the language of the heart. That's what we got, the language of the heart. H-E-A-R-T. Healing, enjoying and recovering together. That's what we do here, don't we? We come together. Me plus you, a power greater than me. You plus us is a power greater than you. We got the power. We got it right here. Holy shit. I ain't leaving you. I ain't going to revert back to self. No, I ain't going to fail to make that conscious contact. Johnny did that. Dead. Like the man in the book. Though a robust man at retirement, he went to pieces quickly. Within 4 years, he was dead. I ain't doing that. Staying right here with you. And we can absolutely guarantee it. You stick around here and do what we do around here, then we have the power sufficient to recover. And we can say, yes, I ain't going to drink anymore. I ain't going to, like, fall for that bloody lip-flapping shit that you guys say. Nobody can say who's going to drink. Nobody. Yes, you can. If you see somebody who ain't doing the work, you can predict very comfortably that they're going to drink. Because alcoholics must have one or two things. They must have alcohol, drugs, or program. And they got to have one of those two things, because they're the only things that treat this disease. And whatever one they go for, they won't want the other one. So if you're staying sober and ain't working the steps, you are going to drink again. It's easy. Because if you ain't working the steps, you ain't taking the actions. If you ain't taking the actions, you ain't thinking AA. If you ain't thinking AA, you ain't combating this disease. And if you ain't combating this disease, you will fall foul of it. And it will get you. And it will mangle you. You think I'm making this shit up? I ain't making this shit up. You think I yell at the newcomer because I, like, got some game to win? No. Because that's what you did with me. That's what you did with me. You took this broken, drunken wannabe and made me something. You made me something special. You made me somebody that my mum can be proud of. My mum's proud of her punch of me, her son, doing well in America. I've been to the White House twice. I've sat on the Speaker's chair on the floor of the House of Representatives. I sat in that Speaker's chair on the floor of the House of Representatives, and it suddenly struck me as being funny. How does a guy like me come out of a nut ward for the criminally insane, chained down with piss and puke, get to sit in the Speaker's chair on the floor of the House of Representatives? Man, I cracked up laughing. I cracked up laughing so hard in that chair, I slipped off the bloody chair. I did. There was a congressman from Seattle, you know him. He picked me up, he went, Mick, what's the matter, what's the matter? I said, you'll never understand. He said, what? I said, I'm nuts, I am. How come a guy like me who's nuts gets to sit in the Speaker's chair, the floor of the House of Representatives? He looked at me weird, he said, it happens every day. Took me up to the top of the dome on the Capitol building, flew the American flag, the stars and stripes, flew it from the top of the dome, brought it down, folded it in that triangular way that I saw you do at Kennedy's funeral. That way you fold your flag. Put it in a triangular shaped glass fronted cabinet like that. Put a brass plaque on that thing. It said, "This flag flew over America to celebrate Mickey Bush's birthday." Whew. You sent that to my mum in northwest London. She's 84 years of age. In the twilight of her years. God. It's pride of place in her little room. She's got a little house. She's got a piano. She plays piano. Pride of place. The American Stars and Stripes. All her little friends come round because they got all this Darby and Joan little like clubs and stuff they got, and they all go round to each other's houses and they sit around and drink tea and tell lies. Make shit up. But her friends say to her, "Mary, tell us some more stories about Mickey in America. Where's Mickey this week? Where has he been? Where have you got his tapes?" Because I send her tapes, like this guy who's recording here now. I get a tape from him, I send it to me mum. And her chest goes out. "Tell us some more stories of Mickey in America, Mary." And she does, and her chest goes out. She's proud. And she tells them what I'm doing. Because I tell her. And she's proud to know that I'm doing well. Her kid's doing well in America. Successful, sober, doing what it takes. And she tells them. You know, me and my mum never ever had the best relationships. But we get to repair those relationships, don't we? Me and my mum had a terrible relationship all my life. She used to bash me, and when I got big enough, I bashed her. And it was awful. I got clean and sober. Went to meetings all the time. Listen to what you guys told me. Today, me and my mum have a beautiful relationship. Very loving and caring. And guess what? She ain't been to one single meeting. Her friends never used to say to her, "Tell us some more stories of Mickey in America, Mary." They used to say to her, "They're going to let your Mickey out the nut ward for Christmas this year, Mary." You know, and she would hurt and cry because she loved me, and I didn't know. And I didn't know what to do, and I was just derelict, sinking. Today it ain't like that. How do we do that? How do we make an old lady happy in her twilight of her years? Huh. I ain't leaving you guys. Why would I do that? If I ever left you, the best thing that could possibly happen was that I made it back. I ain't leaving you. I'm staying right here. I'm staying right here where I was sent when I needed help. I was sent to you. And I'm staying here. I'm giving back that help that I was given. Holy shit. Whew. And I got news for you. If you're wondering whether you is or whether you isn't a real alcoholic or not, here's a little clue. You better not have laughed in here tonight. Because that's the language of the heart. And we relate one alcoholic to another alcoholic. And if you've laughed in here tonight, you may have caught this disease. Because they say if you're laughing, you're relating. And if you're relating to a sick bastard like me, there ain't no doubt about you, pal. I don't get through to no well people. I got one other thing to tell you, and that's my telephone numbers. I got three telephone numbers down there in Los Angeles where I'm from. 818 area code. 818, are you sober? 818, R-U-S-O-B-E-R. That's my telephone number. I got a second number. It's 818, are you clean? R-U-C-L-E-A-N. Are you clean? Are you sober? I got a third phone number. 818, R-U-S-T-E-P-1. Are you step one? I go, are you clean? Are you sober? Are you step one? 818 area code. Not 800, cheap bastard. 818. And I give you that number because for a very special reason. When I got home from that meeting, that first meeting, I had a phone number in my hand, and I called it. I didn't know I was becoming an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I called the number, a guy answered the phone. I don't know who you are, I got your number in my hand. He said, oh, I remember you, he said, from the meeting today. I said, oh, you was at the meeting? He said, yeah, I gave you the number. Smart, see? He said, what about them meetings? He said, what about them? I said, how long are you going to them meetings? He said, 4 months. I said, what does that mean? He said, I'm 4 months sober. 4 months sober? Holy shit. Have them meetings at night? Yes, he said, have a meeting every night. Going to a meeting every night? Yes, I go to a meeting every night. Can I come to a meeting with you tonight? He said, well, I would go normally, he said, but I'm going to a movie tonight. Felt rejected, didn't I? Went all little inside. You know how we do? Because you've got to treat me special for me to feel average. If you treat me average, I feel abused. So I went all little and said, oh, it don't matter, it don't matter. And he went, wait a minute, holy shit, what the hell am I saying? I said, what's the matter? He said, you may have just saved my life. I said, no, I never done nothing. Denial, D-E-N-I-A-L, don't even notice, I am lying. He said, the slip starts somewhere, a newcomer wants to go to a meeting, and I tell him, no, I'm going to a movie. Holy shit, where do you live? I'm coming round to pick you up. I said, really? He said, really? I said, what about your movie? He said, you're much more important than a movie. I said, wow. Nobody had told me that in a long time. I went, holy shit. He came round and picked me up. He was bloody weird as well. I went out to his car. He had a little red Fiat car. But it was all decked out like a Mercedes. It had a big Mercedes emblem on it and shit. I didn't know I was learning about alcoholic grandiosity. Took me and got me a beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, one like this one. Why I tell you that story is, down in San Fernando Valley where I live today, we was having a little outside picnic a couple of weeks ago, and down there with some of the troops out of my house, I bumped into Zach. I said, oh, Zach, it's good to see you. How you doing, mate? He said, good. I said, what are you doing over this side of the hill? He said, I'm the speaker at the meeting at the picnic. I said, holy shit. And guess what, folks? He's still 4 months ahead of me. I couldn't say this when I got here, but I tell you today, I love you. And if you don't think it counts unless it's in the big book, I've been all over the world drunk and sober, and the most common phrase in recovery of any kind is those magical words I heard on the very first day that I got here, and that was, keep coming back. And guess what? It ain't in the book. God bless.